Today on Real Radio.
But when death comes, will you sink your claws, your fingers into this world as you're carted away? And are you saying goodbye to home? I encourage you to become a Christian and turn and say yes to home.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We've arrived at quite an unusual passage, the first paragraph of chapter 12. The apostle chooses his words while revealing that he had what is often called an out-of-body experience, and what he saw was quite literally unspeakable. Now, Paul is part of a very small group of folks and biblical figures who've experienced this, and evidently, it's beyond whatever you and I could possibly imagine. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called When Heaven Becomes Real.
That's the first heaven. This is not my opinion. This is the Hebrew understanding of the first heaven. When I was a little kid, do you guys remember this? I don't know what kind of school you went to, but I went to a secular school that, back in those days, secular schools were probably more religious than religious schools are today. But when the astronauts, for example, would get in trouble, our school, people would pray. I mean, we'd be encouraged to pray. We'd be told to pray. Can you imagine? Well, one of the things was the early days of the Gemini Project and all that kind of stuff. Anybody remember that kind of stuff? You guys? Five of you? It's awesome. No one's going to understand what I'm talking about. We used to go to the multipurpose room for the reentry thing. All the kids would file in. We'd sit down. We had these big black and white. No, we had little black and white TVs, but a lot of them. And we'd watch this dot come in, and the parachute would open. You guys remember that? And it would splash down in the Pacific, and we'd all sing Pledge of Allegiance afterwards, and it was just, boom, awesome. And listen, where did they go? Those guys would have transited into the second heaven space and come down into the first heaven. The cosmonaut, Yuri Gagarin, if I'm saying his name right, he went out into space, and do you remember the statement he made? Now, some people say that he didn't. He said he didn't say it, but a lot of people said he said it. It doesn't matter. Growing up in a communist nation, not having Bibles, it fits, but Yuri Gagarin was reported to have said, I've been to space, and I didn't see God. No kidding. You didn't go far enough, knucklehead. You should have gone a little bit further. You didn't go far enough. That's the second heaven, starry space, second heaven, the stars, second heaven. The third heaven is where there is no material presence. It's God's dwelling place. When Paul talks about the third heaven, he is saying he was caught up to the third heaven. Church, listen, Isaiah, when he saw the throne of God, was that awesome? It was awesome, Isaiah chapter 6. But listen, as much as that was awesome, it apparently wasn't awesome enough. Watch. Moses goes to Mount Sinai and speaks with God at the burning bush. That had to be awesome, but it wasn't awesome enough. Paul the Apostle is, as far as we know, even more than John, the author of the book of Revelation. John saw things that were awesome. Apparently not awesome enough. Because Paul saw things that are not permitted or allowed by heaven to be spoken of on earth. I want you to think about that for a moment. Isaiah saw wild things. Ezekiel saw wild things. John saw wild things. Moses. And then the reporters turn their cameras and microphones to Paul, and he just goes, can't talk about it. Oh, but won't you write a book on it? Can't write about it. Can't talk about it. We don't do a movie about it. Can't do a movie about it. Can't write about it. Can't talk about it. Think this through for a moment. This is very powerful. He's talking about something that is of the spiritual realm, that is of an economy, so to speak, that does not translate into earth time or earth understanding. Listen, second point, I want you to look at this. Look at verses 4 through 6 regarding heaven becomes real is when life for us really becomes exciting. Life becomes exciting. I don't know what it takes for you to have an exciting life. I know some of you are into bungee jumping. I hear about it. I don't know, the Bible says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But who am I to talk? Because I love airplanes. As long as it has wings on it, I'll get in it. I don't care. To me, it makes sense. God invented aerodynamics. It's all perfectly acceptable to God. A rubber band tied around your ankle? Are you nuts? But that's your thrill. Some people like jumping out of airplanes. Why would you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? I have no idea. But it's like, you know what? Oh, let's just do this. What a rush! Okay. You want to listen? I want to encourage you. You want to have a real rush? Why don't you become a radical Christian? And you'll have a real rush, all right? You'll have a real rush because it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. You know, the world will think you're crazy and they'll try to kill you. So that's amazing. But you'll see God do all kinds of amazing things. And if that wasn't enough, you want to have an adrenaline rush is the spirit world gets all shooken up when you follow God. And listen how quiet it is when I said that. It's like, oh, right. Follow Jesus. Watch what happens. Life becomes very exciting when heaven really, really becomes real in your life because it changes the way that you live. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. Paul, we look at him and we think of him, absolutely radical, absolutely dynamic, changed the world, most famous Christian in human history, covered, we just saw a week or so ago, traveling 12,000 miles in his lifetime, and 2,000 years ago he did all that. Wow, how did that happen? He was excited. He was very excited because heaven was real for him. And why that's so important is because we experience a deeper reality. Look at verse 4. He was caught up into paradise. Circle the word paradise. And he heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Watch. The word paradise is a very unusual word found in your Bible. Here's the reason why. In fact, notice in some of your study Bibles, it accurately has the word paradise capitalized. You notice that in some of your Bibles? That's there for a reason. It's rooted, paradisios, it's rooted in Persian language. Persian, interesting, it's unique. Why? The word means, are you ready? Kind of sounds anticlimactic. Paradise, he was caught up there. what's the meaning? It means the park, the lawn, the garden, the place of beauty. That's what it means. But look, there's a definite article in front of it regarding the definition. Caught up to paradise being the garden. And all of a sudden, Bible students, you know, people are not going to care about this, but there's one guy or one gal in here that's going to say, that's cool. And I want you to note this. Are you remembering that in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that the Ark of the Covenant, for example, that Steven Spielberg made for Harrison Ford, remember that? Ark of the Covenant? In Raiders of the Lost Ark? That was a model of what's in heaven. Remember that? What Moses made was just a copy of the real one in heaven. The book of Hebrews tells us that what was done on earth, including the temple, was all a model of what happens in heaven. That's interesting. Well, the garden, this paradise that he's talking about, Paul said he was caught up there, it implies that the Garden of Eden was a garden, meaning it was a knockoff. You're supposed to go, ooh. Why? Because on earth, it was a copy of the garden. Now, I don't know about you, this freaked me out. Have you ever seen awesome, really, usually they're pretty old, amazing-looking oil paintings of, like, paradise. Valleys, rivers, incredible alpine-looking peaks. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen them? I love those paintings, by the way. They're hard to find, but you look at them and you think, there's something about that. It's amazing. And did it have rivers in it? Was it extremely beautiful? Were there animals in it? Whatever happened with Adam and Eve after they sinned, they were banished from it, but it continued to exist until the flood came. Remember, they were kept out of it. Interesting stuff, right? So in some way, the Garden of Eden blended into the rest of the creation of God at that time. Paul says he was caught up to the third heaven, which is paradise. I find this extremely awesome. Why? Because In the argument of where we're going, you can't talk about how perfect and beautiful paradise in heaven is. He said it's illegal to even speak of it. In your mind, what is the most amazing place you've ever seen regarding creation, regarding nature? And you have your picture, right? Everybody who goes on an Alaskan cruise tells me, heaven's got to be like Alaska. Well, I've never been there, but I hope it's better than Alaska. It's got to be. Heaven's got to be 73 degrees for me. But think for a moment. Have you been to Yosemite Valley? Have you walked through the amazing Pacific redwood giants up along our coast, tallest trees in the world? What about, is it the Grand Canyon? You've been there? That'd freak you out. Grand Canyon's so big, it looks fake to me. What is it for you? Is it Yellowstone National Park, for example? That's awesome. Imagine this, heaven. We can talk about those places, and we give God honor when we do. But Paul saw stuff that somehow is some sort of a depiction of not only God's perfect work, that what is seen on earth is somewhat of a model or a copy regarding it, but he goes beyond what John saw. He goes beyond what Isaiah saw. He goes beyond what Ezekiel saw. And he makes an announcement that what I saw, you cannot speak of. So, when you talk to people, for example, who say, I had an out-of-body experience. Look, who am I to judge their situation? Except that I'll match whatever they say against the Bible. I can't judge them, but the Bible can judge it. By the way, there's people from all walks of life with all types of different belief systems that say they had an out-of-body experience, that they saw eternity or heaven. Some of their stories have similar depictions. Some of them very different. But can I encourage you to think of this for a moment? I don't want to step on anybody's toes here. Because after this service, you're going to hand me a book. Oh, you need to read this book. What is it? It's by Billy Bob. And he had a near-death, out-of-body experience. Don't give me your book. I'm going to throw it away. I don't want your book. Yeah, but this guy's a Christian. I don't care if the guy's the Pope. I don't want to read the book. I don't want to read about it. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I don't want to know. I don't want to know because you know what? There's one thing. But yeah, but you need to see the movie. You ought to buy the book. I have the book. It's right here. And this is why it's important. I'm not doubting what thousands and thousands of people have claimed to have seen. But apparently, the best part that should concern me and us, you can't know about it. Oh, but don't you want to get close? No, I don't. No, I don't, because you know what? I don't want to hear what 1,000 people have 2,000 different opinions. I don't care about them. I want to know this, that the Apostle Paul, this excites me to no end. You know what? It's kind of, you know, if you have a picture of your wife, for example, and you're on a trip, that's sweet. And you can just sew it right next to your heart and your shirt. But as soon as the trip is over and you're home, do you get home and pull out the picture and, oh, sure missed you. And she goes, would you hang onto the picture or would you give her a hug? Look, do we need to have a marriage class here? You would give her a hug, you'd give her a kiss, the real thing is there. Why would you embrace something that you're not even sure and you can't qualify? The apostle says, I'll tell you something about paradise. And everybody got out their pins, right? And he said, I'll tell you this, it's so awesome you can't talk about it. Oh, come on, Paul. No, it's beyond. And beyond means, can't talk about it. You guys, for 14 years he had this in his heart. Never once shared it with anybody. He's trying to win the love of the Corinthians because they have pitted him against these false teachers and they were doubting his credentials. He turns to them, and because of their animosity towards him, we're richer because he at least told us, oh, guess what? Where you're going when you die, believer, it's so awesome. Can't talk about it. Can't write a book about it. Can't do a movie on it. It's forbidden by heaven to be seen, shown, or talked about. And you say, well, that's kind of cheap, because I wanted to know something about it. How do we know if it even exists? And I'm glad you brought that up. Are you excited about heaven? Now listen. Now listen. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Translation, you don't know what heaven's going to be like, but it will be awesome. It will be more than awesome. If what Isaiah saw was amazing, where he saw heaven and God's throne shook and the cherubim and seraphim bowed before God, each having six wings and four faces, and they sang day and night, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Would that be awesome? Isaiah said it was awesome. If Ezekiel says, I saw the Spirit of the Lord and there were wheels within the wheels and there were eyes all around and on top of it, he sat. Is that awesome? That's awesome. John said, I looked and I saw the Lamb of God as though it had been slain, having a face so bright that the sun and the moon fled from his presence and his beard was as white as snow. In his eyes, they were brilliant red like fire. And he had a band across his chest that was golden, and his legs were shiny, shiny, like highly polished brass. And when he opened his mouth, a sword came out, which is the word of God, when he opened his mouth. And John said, I saw him get on a horse, and the door was opened, and he descended toward earth. Oh man, is that awesome? That ain't nothing. It's nothing compared to what Paul saw, because those guys said it. They wrote it down. Paul said, John, good job. Isaiah, awesome. Ezekiel, whoo. But I can't talk about it. Dr. Hare Ironside writes this. I have discovered that people who are going to heaven are the most excited people about being in heaven. Let me read that again. Have your attention? Listen, you're not going to want to be doing anything else right now but listening to the conclusion of this. Believe me. I have discovered that the people who are going to heaven are also the most excited people about being in heaven. So, here's the test. Don't say anything. Just let's listen. Number one, Ironside begins to point some things out that are very, very powerful. Number one, do you desire to know God more and more in your life? Is that a reality in your life? Number two, do you desire to worship God right now, here on earth, until you see him? And do you desire to pray to him in communion, in communal prayer with God? Do you talk to God all the time? Only you know the answer. Do you worship God? Is your heart just prone to thank you, God, and God, I love you, and you're amazing. I just read this about you. You're amazing. Do you desire to know God more and more every day? Listen. Ironside points out that if that's not your desire, you're probably not going to heaven. Because if heaven is in you, you can't wait to be there. We are going to know next week that Paul the Apostle, this same man, says in another place, I have a desire to go home and be with the Lord, which is far greater, but for now I have to stay here for you people to learn more stuff. He says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said, I can't wait to get out of here. You might say, that is so fatalistic. Of course it is. If you never think of heaven. Of course it is if this is all you got. Of course. Look, an eighth of a mile from my house is a community built by Greg Norman. You know the famous golfer, Greg Norman? Multi-million-dollar homes. I said I live an eighth of a mile from it. Just like the Corvette story last week. You guys can't get over that one, right? I don't live in this community. I bought my house for $99,000. I don't live in this other place. Multi-million dollar homes. What's my point? Listen, there are people who live there who love Jesus. They go to this church. There are people there who don't know Jesus. They don't want to know Jesus. The people, for example, that I know who live there in these multi-million dollar homes, they can't wait for the Lord to come back today. Everything they have, God's given it to them. But they can't wait to see the Lord. It's not their home. Are you with me? It's not their house. It's not their home. Then there's the other people who are grabbing everything they can to make a bigger home, to put more stuff in their home, to make things that cause them to feel at home. And Dr. Ironside talks about in this account, he says, I was at a bedside of a man who attended my church, and his family was gathered around, and he was dying. And one of the family members petted him on the forehead and said, don't worry, Uncle John, soon it will be over and you'll be home. And he said, what are you talking about? I've been home all my life. I don't know where I'm going. It's not home, but I don't know where I'm going. He's been at home all this life? Christian, you know, no matter where you live, if it's in an amazing house or not, if it's in a tent or not, you know something. This is not your home. This is not your home. And you know it. And so when death comes, can you imagine? This world is all you've known. You've seen no power of heaven in your life. You've had no reality. It's been religious maybe, yeah, but not personal. You've tried and it's been a yoke and it's been heavy and religious and stuff and a burden, but you've never known the joy of the Lord that liberates you and the peace and the happiness that comes in knowing Jesus and walking with him every day. Only you can judge that if you've had that or not. But when death comes, will you sink your claws, your fingers into this world as you're carted away? And are you saying goodbye to home? I encourage you to become a Christian and turn and say yes to home. I'll end with this. Christians in other countries, in Russia, for example, when we would say goodbye to our Russian brothers and sisters in Russia, when we didn't know them, they would say this at departure time. До свидания. До свидания. Well, до свидания to you. But when you got to know them and you became friends, no one said до свидания. You know what they said? Пока. Пока. One's very formal. One is, I'll see ya. In Germany, I don't know what the formal departure of German is. I don't know if it's auf Wiedersehen or whatever they say, but when you get to know Germans in Germany, Christians, they'll say, tschüss. Tschüss. What is tschüss? You know what it is in English? When we're going to say goodbye to somebody formally, we'll say, goodbye. Well, goodbye. I mean, that sounds depressing, doesn't it? Goodbye. I don't know who you hang out with. I don't know if I don't know who I say that to. But you know what I say to people? See ya. See ya. Listen, if I start dying in the next 3 seconds... Okay, I hope to say, see ya. I'll see ya. I'll see ya. See ya. See ya. See you. Right? See ya. Why? Because it means we'll hook up later. See ya. See ya. Okay, look, if I say goodbye, look, I know where I'm going. You better check yourself. I don't know.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study called When Heaven Becomes Real, it's a lesson taken from the first 10 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a quite unusual passage of Scripture. When Heaven Becomes Real is actually a series within a series, and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this unique New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you have not visited reallifewithjackhibbs.org, you really should when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org is a great resource. Just one visit and you'll know what we're talking about. You can access just about anything connected to Real Radio, previously aired Real Radio programs, Real Life videos, Real Life devotions, of course you hear us mention those from time to time. You can get in on our special offers and Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month and a whole lot more. So once again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.